Look at verse 15, 16, 17 tonight, and talking about letting the peace of God rule. That's what the scriptures here is going to say. Hopefully you got a handout if you choose to have one to follow along, take some notes on, add some blanks or fill some blanks in, I should say. So Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15, the Bible says here that, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You remember the last time we were in this section of scripture, which was just a week or so back, we finished off with that charity in verse number 14, put on. We were talking about putting on, therefore, the bowels of mercy, the kindness, all that. But it summed it all up by saying, put on charity, meaning love. It's the bond. It was the glue that pulled all that stuff together. And so as we see that, now after that bond of perfectness, that charity that's pulling all that stuff together, this is the result that we're looking into, verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so I want you to just, we'll dive into it tonight, take these next moments about the peace of God ruling in us. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7 says, borrows a lot from this. Of course, God used the same person to write both of them. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we want to see there's people that are going through things right now. They might, Miss Karen over here, going through radiation treatments, and there's people that are going through things left and right. And I think about all of the stuff that's happening in our lives. And we're going to find the opportunity to put the Bible into practice and let the peace of God establish us. Let the peace of God, it passeth all understandings. Let it keep our hearts. Let that peace of God rule in your hearts. And I trust that whatever you're going through, that we're going to do that. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Help us, I ask, and we'll certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So where the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, I was reading from one author that was talking about this passage, and he said this, He, God, Jesus, gives peace. But then, because we find that in John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And we see that he leaves that peace. He gives it. But it goes even further than that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace. Not only does he give it, he's it. He's what he gives. And it is him. And so we see that we're supposed to let the peace of God rule. So we're looking at this. And this word rule brings an interesting thought into it. So I'm told that it literally means like an umpire. Back in those days, there would have been a lot of Olympic-type games that we might have patterned our Olympics after, but regardless, sporting events. And in that, you'd had umpires, much like they do now. The big Super Bowl was this past weekend, and you got those referees, and those referees are there, hopefully, to keep some order, and not to keep order as in bouncers. That's not their primary job, although I know they get into that a little bit, but their primary job is to rule or keep order, keep that established, and so we understand that they umpire. And hopefully, because there's somebody that knows the rules very well, can call out the rules, then those people will settle down because somebody's there to rule. I think about this. Somebody of mine had a real expensive SUV, and we were in. I was in it riding along, and we'd stopped for some reason. That it started. I could hear some pumps of some sort in the back. They were blowing things up, and they were lifting one. It had a stabilization feature that, when different terrain, it would level itself out. Same thing on some RVs and different things like that. You'll get them in a place, and they'll level that out so that you're not rolling down this way while you're camping, or the other way. A&L RV sales, praise the Lord, right, Brother Larry? He pays me every time I mention that. So if you've got a business, you'd like for me to mention your business, it's a very nominal fee. Now, he hasn't paid lately, so I want to make sure I collect a little bit. But just like an RV, that it gets leveled out, and meaning that they'll the fancier ones have, they you don't have to crank them by hand. They come up on their own. You've got to push a button and it cranks it up. It stabilizes it, levels it out. And so that's what the Word of God is talking about here when it talks about the peace of God ruling in your heart. So we ought to let God's peace stabilize you. And that's exactly what it's going to do to you. Because when you know that he's whose list you're on, better yet, whose hand you're in, that's a very calming situation. You understand that it stabilizes you, or it rules, it umpires it, it keeps it like that. And so we understand that the peace of God is supposed to do that, rule in your hearts, because our hearts are flutter back and forth. And if we're not careful, we let all of the issues of life get us all topsy-turvy. And God says, no, I'm going to let my peace rule. And sometimes young people will say, well, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be under somebody's rule, or I don't want to be under their thumb. I don't want to be under their control. But you understand, when God rules your heart, then he brings that stabilizing face in there, that stabilizing facet, rather, I should say. And so we see that God's peace stabilizes you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And so you remember that he not only gives that peace, but he is that peace, and it stabilizes you. But I'm bringing this out as well as we look at verse number 15, to the which ye are called in one body. We see that your calling should humble us. Because look at what it says. It tells us it stabilizes your heart. Yes, it rules there. To the which you're called. This is a gift of God. You've been to get called in one body. When you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about us being called into that body, being having your calling and being engaged in that. I'm humbled because I get to be in the family of God. I get to be around you, and I get to meet people as time to time we go and travel, and you go to vacation, and you'll go to church, and you'll find people. It doesn't take you very long to find out that you've got a common bond, because it's Jesus Christ. We're in God's family, and we see that this humbles you. I was thinking about this. We heard that missionary the other night, on Sunday night. He had mentioned that, well, this was maybe the largest church he'd preached in, as he goes and reports around there. And so we kind of do sometimes forget what the Lord has blessed us with. I grew up in church about 60, and that was on an average day. We always tried to have more, but that's about where it stayed. Dad started from nothing, but as it grew up to about that. And so I'm humbled. Because we get to be here. I'm humbled. You're humbled. I hope we are all humbled. I'm humbled to get to be the pastor of the church here. And maybe more than I ever expected to get to do. I'm humbled in that. And so we see, not only are we humbled because Buffalo Ridge, and we certainly don't want to get to a spot where you think, man, we are something. Well, we're something all right. That's for sure. Like one friend of ours told us about church, said, I think our church could be, not this one, but I think our church could be labeled as, we're a can of mixed nuts. You know, like when you go get those can of mixed nuts, that's what they said about that. But this calling, I'm humbled because I'm in the family. And God says here, this peace of God is going to rule in your heart, but to the which you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I certainly am thankful. I'm thankful for all that the Lord has given to us as a church family. It's a wonderful thing as you get to be out. Amy and I were out. Running around some on the other day, and so we saw people again that we recognize, and so recognize are here. So I told him, put that cigarette down. No, there's church people around here. Not here. Wait till you get home. She's careful. She only smokes at the house, and then in the backyard, because somebody could be coming down to the front yard, front driveway. But I was so blessed to those visitors. That's not true. She doesn't smoke. Drinks, but no smoking. But I was so humble. We saw person after person after person. And that's a wonderful joy. And I know you say, well, that's just because the church is big. I understand that. But what a joy. I mean, what a camaraderie to say, hey, brother, how's it going? Don't look at that in a bad way. Look at that. Wow, that's a blessing. And I'm thankful. I mean, I'm humbled every time. It seems like it happens at one particular store a lot. Somebody says, oh, are you Pastor Redmond? I said, yeah. I said, well, I've seen you on TV. I said, whoa, I'm impressed myself. I'm going to sign my own Bible one of these days. But I don't say that for a proud brag or any of us. I'm just humbled that the Lord would put us together here. And it's a blessing. It's just been amazing what God's done. And in the last months, bringing folks our way. Thank God for it. And so it humbles. And so it's bigger than that, just what church he sent you to. It's that you're in the family. The body. And God talks in other passages about some body parts are a little more comely, or they're more noticed and beautiful, but all of them are necessary. And I say, thank the Lord for that. I'm humbled that I get to play a part in that. So let the peace of God rule in your heart, and then let it bring you right down to say, boy, God's good, and be ye thankful. So we see not only that, let the peace of God, but now let the word of Christ dwell in you. I see in verse number 16, let this word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you letting that word dwell in you? Say, okay, well, how do I let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Well, his word, somebody mentioned it in prayer, I think maybe for the offering or something, and talked about the Holy Spirit and God, the word of God, or maybe Brother Paul was talking about the word of God getting in us and the Holy Spirit comforting us, all those things together, letting the words of Christ, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so we see that this ought to affect us inwardly. We see that it ought to come down. Now, this word dwell, I'm told that it means be at home. Like when you have somebody come visit, come on in. I've always been amazed when you bring somebody in and you have them come in your house, you got to go back to the bedroom, you got to go to the basement, you got to go to the garage or whatever. Say, make yourself at home. Now, we all kind of in our culture, we know what that means. Sit there quietly on the seat, on the chair, and don't mess with our stuff. Because if they were truly making themselves at home, wouldn't they go look at everything they want to? Oh, well, wonder what he's got in here. You know, we'd be pulling out. If we were truly making ourselves at home, oh, wonder what's in here. Well, that's a mess. Wonder what's over here. Wow, wonder why they didn't clean that up any better. If we were truly making ourselves at home, we would go look at every closet. We'd go over there. So next time you come to our house or I come to yours, let's just be honest. Why don't we say, why don't you behave like a well-behaved guest? Don't make yourself all the way at home, because then you're going to kick your shoes off, you put your feet up on the couch, get the clicker and watch what you want. Don't make yourself that at home. But that is what this word dwell means. Be at home. Just be comfortable. Be at ease. Be familiar. And so if we know that, then let's look at it again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is that word of Christ, the word of God, God's word, the Bible, is it dwelling at home in you? Or is it something strange that comes in once in a while when you pick it up? Is it something that's living in you that feels at home when it puts you? I can tell you how we know this, and I can tell you how I get convicted about this. It seems as if when you're gathered together with some friends that you can talk about anything under the sun. You can talk about the big football game that was on Sunday, or you can talk about, I didn't like any of those teams, so I didn't care. You can talk about, I really wanted one to win, but they didn't, or they did. You can talk about all the publicity. You can talk about that. You can also talk about gardening. You can talk about guns. You can talk about old cars. You can talk about remodeling. You can talk about landscaping. You can talk about anything that whatsoever you want. But try me on this. If you're not careful when you're around a group of people, and it's not because there's some restriction at work or something, so not with that exclusion, whenever you start bringing up some spiritual truth, if you're not careful, watch out for this in your life. If you're not careful, you'll get real quiet. I mean, I could talk about anything else, how Home Depot is better than Lowe's, or Lowe's is better than Home Depot, or how you don't like either one of them. You could spout that off, or how you do like the big box stores, you don't like the big box stores. I like the local business, or the big ones have them. You can talk about all that stuff, and you can just share it all day long. But then, when God puts on your heart to share something that you read in the scripture that morning, you feel like you got to make sure everything's safe, everybody's safe space, and everybody's got their earmuffs on, they're buckled in. Listen, I want to give you something from the Bible. And so much so that oftentimes you'll just let it slide without saying it. Is that true? Or is that just me? Maybe I'm the only one in here. The rest of you all better than me. But that's true. But if the word of Christ dwelled richly in us, it would feel so at home with us. Did it just be one of those things that we said just in passing? And I've been trying to, even if I don't have an opportunity to witness to somebody or invite them to church even, or I've been trying to get church in every time I go somewhere. Of course, that's easier for me. I'm the pastor. I know, like, oh, I pastor the church right over here behind Burger King. That's our landmark, Burger King. You know, we, if it ever goes out, we're going to buy it and leave it that. I guess, well, it's still behind Burger King where it used to be. What that I try to tell everybody, well, I'm the pastor of the church over there. And or if it's not anywhere around here, I want to get something in about the Lord. You say, well, that's not very aggressive. Well, sometimes you don't have an opportunity to be aggressive about giving them the full gospel plan. But in a couple of seconds, you can see at least put a good word in for the Lord. And so I'm challenging you to let the word of Christ, let the word dwell in you richly. Let God's word affect you inwardly. Let it dwell in you richly. So that just means, again, let it be at home. It's old hat, and I say it in a kind way, a reverent way. It's old hat. Yeah, it's just what we do. It's just like eating supper. It's just like getting up in the morning. We do it every day. It's just like strolling through the laundry room to get out the garage. I'm at home. Just like I am here, I'm at home. I'm at home at church. I love it here. I walk through this building every day of my life almost, and I'm happy. I'm at home. Well, I'm home. I'm happy at 169 Victory Lane, too. I'm at home. I love our house. It's a beautiful place, and we just sit there and enjoy it. But I want the Word of God to be that same way. Let it dwell richly in us. Let it be at home. So God's Word ought to affect us inwardly. But then as we look on the verse, not only does it affect us inwardly, but then it goes outwardly. It affects us or affects people around us, would have been a better way for me to put that. It affects people outwardly. So we see that it dwells richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now it's coming, it's done coming in, it's going out now. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. God's word in, changes come out. We're going around singing songs that glorify the Lord. Maybe some you heard at church. Maybe some you heard some other program. Maybe some whatever audio download you got is just a wonderful, wonderful tune that glorifies God. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And so we get our lives cleaned up. We get our lives you say, well, I got cleaned up years ago when I was saved. Yes. And then when we first John 1:9 and we get to confess our sins after we mess up, get to confess our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the word of God that does that. And so it's the washing of the water of the word. And so we're clean through that word. And then as we're cleaned inwardly, it's at home in us. It's abiding in us. And I'm abiding in it. And now it's affecting me outwardly. Now people are starting to know it. I'm speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You ought to let the word of Christ dwell in you. And then, the last one from verse number 17, we see that we're supposed to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you do, so it's transitioning here. We put on the new man, verse number 12, 13, 14, above there, and verse number 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the glue that holds it all together. And when you do those things, when you put on that new man, you got that glue that holds it all together. Now we're going to see that this peace of God's going to just dwell in you richly. It's just going to live there. It's a wonderful thing. And then, just to sum it all up in this little section, and whatsoever you do, almost like that other passage in 1 Corinthians 10, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, this is this verse. This is the little shot that God takes the people of Colossians, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So we ought to live a God-fearing life. We understand that everything that we do ought to have God's. We ought to feel like we can do it, and as we do it, then we ought to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So some teenager asked, well, should I go to that place where some acquaintances of mine are? Should I go to that party? Well, I'm going to give you better than a list of things you can't do and the things you can't do. Well, should I, can I watch this on television or on downloads or whatever? Can I say this? Is that a word that I should say, Dad or Grandpa? Can I drink this? Can I go to this dance? Can I buy this lottery ticket? Can I wear this or can I wear those or can I do all of these things? Well, instead of us just giving you a list, say, do all those. Don't. Can you do that, whatever that is, in word or deed, and just say, and I'm going to have to do it because I'm a Christian. I'm going to have to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it will stop a lot of our activities. It will stop a lot of our conversations. Can I have the conversation that I did with that person about some other person, Christian or not Christian? Can I have that conversation at the end of it and just say, I want to pray about all that we've spoken about today. I want God to be glorified. Can I do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to give thanks to God the Father? And to be honest with you, there's a lot of things. And I don't think that we're involved in the big things that are going to make us show up on the nightly news or get excommunicated from your little friend group or all that. We're probably not. We're a little more careful than that. But I am telling you that if we would do put all that we do to the test of this verse number 17, nobody would have to come and tell us, hey, don't do that anymore. If we were honest and we opened before the Lord and we said, whatever activity I get involved in, I'm going to have to put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this. You ever went to your parents sometime and said, I want to ask something. And then when you got there, you were so embarrassed because you really knew the answer. You knew the answer to your own question. It was a no. And you didn't want to hear it from them. You just figured better, might as well just hear it from myself. And then you say, forget it. Never mind. Because you knew the answer before you asked the question. And you certainly didn't want to ask it and be told no. It's better just to leave it alone. Well, I think that many of the things that we do, if we gave it this test of Colossians 3:17, we'd be like that kid going to his dad that kind of kicked the ground for a little bit. So, well, I want to ask you something. And then before he got the courage up to ask him, never mind. Because he really knew the answer before he asked. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ought to live a God-fearing life. And then that brings us down to that part where we do all for God's glory. All of it. You say, man, Pastor, there are some churches that are real restrictive of what they want, what they tell people they ought to do. And some are real, real wide that you can pretty well do anything. We're not doing what we do because of what membership role you show up on. We're supposed to do all that we do because of whose name we bear. And I'm not talking about membership of church. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lot worse than you think. Oh, you go down to that church. You go to the something community church or something Bible church, something Baptist church. You go down there. Oh, yeah. I know they're real stringent on that. You say, it's worse than that. You know, what church is worse than that? It's not the church. It's I'm bought with a price, the Bible says. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are His. So are God's. So we understand we're supposed to do all to the glory of God. And so this ties right back into that letting God's word just be at home in you. Wow, that helps me when I see that it establishes, it stabilizes, it rules in my heart. And I hope it does that in all of ours. Let God's word be at home in you. And let that peace just calm things down. And then as we do all that and we start marching forward into every day, because we're going to have to march forward into tomorrow, like it or not, if God don't take us on to heaven, then we're going to have to engage in the day tomorrow. And as we engage in the day, we ought to, Colossians 3:17, every activity, do all to His name and for His glory, giving thanks to God and the Father. So, all of it revolves around Him, His Word, and His Spirit. I pray that God has blessed it to our hearts tonight. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Friends, as we begin to pray, let me read this to you. I just want to add, it was this commentator. I can't remember which one it was, but it's not original with me. He said this, the soul is liable to the agitations and passion and excitement. It needs something to preside over it and to keep its various faculties in place and order. Nothing is so well fitted to do this as the calm peace that God gives. The soul is liable to agitations of passion and excitement. It needs something to preside over it, to keep its faculties in place. And nothing is so well fitted to do this as the peace that God gives. Father, again, bless us now is our prayer. May this peace reign and rule in our hearts. And dear Lord, may we let the Word dwell in us richly. May we let that peace settle over us and let that Word feel at home in us. And then may every action that we do bring glory to You. And we'll thank You for it all in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? And as the ladies play something through, if God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come this evening. Maybe you just want to come and pray about something. Maybe you haven't been getting in that Word, letting that Word get in you, but you say, Lord, I want to let Your peace reign and rule in me. I want Your Word to dwell, feel at home in me. It's going to be hard to let that Word dwell in you if you're not letting that Word in you at all. That's why it's so important as a believer to daily take an intake of the Word of God. I know lives are busy, but you could just carve out a few moments. Say, I'm going to get the Word and let it get in me. Let it dwell in you. Get used to it. Let it be like an old familiar part of your home. And then that peace will rule you. It'll umpire, it'll keep you settled down. And I believe it'll bring it to the question again and again, is this glorifying to God? If you're here tonight as they play one more verse and you're not sure that you're saved, maybe you've been battling with that for a long time. Maybe people think you are saved, but you just never got that settled. Would you step out and come and let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that? It's so important. Maybe you have some other spiritual need, then I invite you to come. So much. You may look this way. Well, I wanted to announce to you or just present to you, Brother Chris and Miss Kim Bowers are right over here to my left on the fourth pew there. They're such a blessing. They've been coming for a long time, and they're saved and baptized, love the Lord. We've gotten to fellowship together, but they firmly believe that God's leading them to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They got a wonderful Christian testimony, and we thank God for their faith and their confidence in Him and then their dedication to Him. So we thank the Lord for that. And so we would like to move to receive them into membership, but we'd need somebody to make a motion toward that end. All right, Brother Scott Martin makes that motion. Brother David Wampler seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amen. Well, I want a few of you to get by. Amy will be over here. Amy and Maddie will be over here with them for just a little while. And hopefully get by and introduce yourself to them. You're going to find that they're a great blessing and encouragement to you as well. And so we thank God for bringing the Bowers our way. And I want you to make them feel right at home. Thank you again for being in church this morning. Please, or this evening, please pray for Sunday morning that God would give us a great time, that He would meet with us in a special way. We'll have a couple of missionary guests with us throughout the day. Brother Morris, our missionary to Ecuador, will be BIMI missionary, will be here with us all day. And then Brother Melo Lumabao will be one of our Filipino missionaries will be here in the evening service. And so we'll just have them around in some different places. And so be praying for them. Be praying for the service. God will meet with us on the Lord's day. So thank you so much for being here. God bless. You're dismissed.